seven acknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And, of course, my brother, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him. And,
yep. Most regrettable.
This episode is brought to you by one of my favorite people ever. It's Laura Lindley, attorney at law in downtown DeQueen, licensed in Arkansas and Oklahoma. She can handle many of your legal needs, divorce, custody, land deeds, you name it. And if she can't perform the legal task you need, she will refer you to the best person for the job. Give her a call today at 870-642-4462 or stop by. She's on the north side of the courthouse, on the square in historic downtown DeQueen. Utilize her 20-plus years of experience and you will never look back. A huge thanks to all the support she gives us for sponsoring Regrettable. It's Laura Lindley, attorney at law.
That's right. Welcome to the Regrettable Podcast. Again, live from the KDQN Fortress of Solitude here. Although we're never really solitary. No. We're always doing this while people be working. We're doing this one earlier, too, on a Thursday, which is very weird because we got all kinds of stuff to do as the brew crew. The Regrettable crew has nothing to do.
Public appearances are the bane of my existence.
Yep,
my
friend. It's one of those things that I never thought of before I signed on to this job. And being public. Oh, right. I thought I could just be, you know.
Where Patrick, he's just kind of seems like he's in his element when he's out in the public. And, I mean, he just makes it, you know, does that make sense?
He just knows how to swallow the old distaste.
That's probably true.
A little better
that's
than, yeah.
I am a social butterfly.
Yes, that's right.
Exactly.
But these live appearances, they're always like, they're always fun and good, but, they, you know, you kind of dread them up until you set up and you do it. You're like, okay, yeah, what am I, what,
right.
Every single time, I'm like, what
and
was
then
I
we
so?
Have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, you're right.
That's how everything goes.
Yeah,
that's true.
Like, I always ride this roller coaster of expectations and disappointments and fear with anything. Like, you know, if somebody tells me, like, oh, it's like 2 weeks away, can you go do this thing? And I'm like, yeah, sure thing. 2 weeks, nothing. That's a different Patrick. You're talking to a different Patrick right now
that's
than
right.
that guy.
Good point.
Yeah, and then as it nears, like, the trepidation and the fear grows and grows, and then once it actually kicks off, it's like, what am I talking
yeah.
about?
Right. What was the whole...
People come talk to you and you have a good time. And
that's with everything, like with hanging with my friends. You know, if it's like, hey, let's hang out Friday night. It's Monday. I'm like, sure, man. And then, Tuesday, I'm like, how the hell am I going to get out of this?
Right.
And then Friday...
Make a baby coming or something. At this point, nobody could call you out on that. If you were to fake it... Okay. Not a single friend could actually say, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So you'd be like, oh, it was false call. You know, no big deal. You know, you'd get away with it. Totally.
Yeah. Like, why do we get so, like, you know, worried about fun times?
It'd
be like, your friend would be like, dude, God, this is crazy. It's going to be the funnest time. And yeah, that sounds great. A week beforehand, you're like, oh, I gotta go do this thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think, because, man, we're creatures of habit, and for most of us, our habit. It's like where we live, it's not like we can go to a nightclub, you know, any day of the week and keep our social media meter at full, you know. So,
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, it's...
Especially around here, we end up being pretty. I mean, you keep yourself
homebodies.
Yeah. That's where I was going.
No matter what you do, you know, there. Like, I know, Patrick, you like to work a lot on your property and get all that done. That sounds like a fun day for you, rather than, you know, like you said, going to a nightclub or something.
Right.
That would be, you know, that's a nightmare in our world, at least in my world.
Yeah, and then it's always usually. I don't mind it so much if it's going to be at my house, but then there comes the problem with is then I have to. It's up to me to end everything. I have to, like, kick people out at some point, as opposed to going to a buddy's house and then I get to decide when it's all over. But most of my friends seem to live far enough away. If I go there, I can't have as much fun as I would like to have because police, you know. Yeah,
or you got
to
stop. at some point and just drink water to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a few drunk drivers ruined it for the rest of us.
I know, man. Yeah. Ridiculous.
And then, of course, we go to bed super early because we wake up early for the radio. So when Patrick has a party over his place, he's like, looks at the watch like 8 o'clock, boys.
Yes.
It's getting.
That's funny.
And I still have the ones that, and I was like this back in the day. You didn't show up at a party until like 10 o'clock at night. You know, you wouldn't dare show up before then.
Right.
And
that's
true. To me now, it's just like, at this point, do I have to grab my shotgun to chase you guys off the property?
Last party I went to, nightclub style, we had a reservation at 9 o'clock.
For the club?
For the club. Mm. I had a reserve table at 9 o'clock. And that was it was packed. The club was already completely packed. That was the only table left. So it was like, everybody's like, look, who's been holding this reserve table?
You have to go.
Yeah. So I felt like I was a big deal at that point. But no, it was weird though, because you're right. Usually that's the latest I've been out in a long time. Usually we'll get there like 7:30. You know what I mean?
Couple hours.
Coming up on 8.
Yeah.
Couple hours max. We're done by 10.
Yeah.
You know, 9:30, 10 o'clock. We're out of there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was a different story. But the club was packed, where normally I'm getting there for one of the first set tables at the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, catch the early bird special.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's it. Oh, go ahead.
Dollar beer night.
I wanted to bring up something. Unless you had something back on this topic, I wanted to steer it. Okay, well, you go ahead.
I did.
And let me steer it back here in a second. All right.
No, I just wanted to say, it's funny that, like, if we go out, we're like, 8 o'clock, it's getting up there. But on a night where you're staying in, it's a Friday night, you got nothing to do, you know, ain't got no job. Ain't got shit to do. Then you'll stay up to the...
Yeah,
to the early hours of the morning. Actually, sometimes I feel like maybe sometimes those Friday nights where I have nothing to do Saturday, I'm like in bed by 7:30.
Right.
See, I ruin my weekend every time really ruin my subsequent Monday, because Friday and Saturday I'll be up till like 2 o'clock in the morning, and then that's all right Friday, Saturday, but then comes Sunday and I got to force myself to bed like 9 o'clock at the latest. It's tough.
Yeah,
it's
my
tough.
Weekends like that are fewer and fewer. Now,
yeah,
but I have them. I mean, like, well, when we went out to camp, and that was a later night, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I believe
I think
was.
We made it to midnight, maybe a little bit after. Yeah,
so that
respectable,
exactly. Which we were doing things the whole time, like we physically had to bed down for the night versus just
to survive,
exactly.
To not die was our big thing,
which
that
was
weekend.
Awesome. That goes back to what I think one of y'all have said about, you know. The reason why people can have such the problem with the things they have a problem with on social media today is because they don't have to worry about finding food for themselves and actually staying alive.
Right, the problem's a little more relative nowadays.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I gotta, I went to bed late last night playing my video game. On a Saturday night, if I stay up till 2-3 in the morning and I sleep till 10 o'clock or something Sunday, and now I'm knowing like, okay, I have to go to bed at a decent time tonight, it's bad when I've just forced myself to drink like 6 beers at like 5.
Gotcha.
4 or 5, drink like 6 beers quickly.
Nice.
And then by 7 or 8, I'm like, oh, it's easy. Just fall asleep.
Okay. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah.
I might,
I have done that. I have like strategically drank to get an early bedtime. Because especially beer, dude. If I drink more than 4 within a couple hours, I'll be feeling good, but come within a few hours, I'm just so ready to just pass out.
Nice. Nice.
It's just one of those things. There's something in it.
Yeah. Well, it's just a lot of effort to drink it, too. You're just tiring yourself out and then having to constantly get up, go pee, and all that.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's the perfect. That's I had a friend who I hung out with this last Friday, and I brought a bottle of spiced rum along with me just to try, just to have a little taste or whatever. Well, his motto has always been nothing excels like excess, and he definitely lived that night. Because, again, I just took a couple of little sips, and he blamed it on we didn't have any shot glasses, so he was just taking pulls out of the bottle, which you're not going to get drunk any faster or any harder than when you just drink out of the bottle, because now you're not
1800
controlling
style.
Exactly. So he asked me he tells me at one point, he's like, I don't know why we don't just drink liquor much, as it's spilling out of his mouth, he's just slamming the bottle around, getting a little sloppy. And I was like, well, I mean, you drink enough of it, you'll know why you don't drink it more often. And sure enough, I talked to him, because I hung out with him again the next day, and he refused to even have a beer because he decided to puke his guts out from that spiced rum. Whereas me, I had a couple of sips, you know, enjoy myself, you know, but maybe that just takes practice.
Got to
use
the bottle sip as an enhancer, not like the not the primary.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, drink beer.
Right.
Have a couple sips. You're in the right space of mind.
Yeah.
You come to a party with just the bottle.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be a rough one for you.
That is a very good reason in why the statement, what is it, liquor before beer, you're in the clear. Mm-hmm. Beer before liquor, you're getting sicker.
Yep. Yeah.
Because if you start with beer and then switch to liquor and then, like, continue drinking, then you're getting sicker. But if you get a couple shots in you and then you wrap it up with a few beers, you're much better off.
Yeah. You can play around with about two or three shots of liquor.
Totally.
And after that is serious business. Absolutely. At that point, you better be like, you better be logical about what you're doing. And unfortunately, those first three shots, you're about throwing logic out the window at that point. Whereas beer is that it's a nice lead up. You know, you ever, anybody listening, you've probably been, if you all you've done is shots and just drinking liquor, that one, you take one shot, ruin your night. That's it. You have just gone over the razor's edge.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know,
it's such a slippery slope.
It is a slippery slope. Too.
I mean, it's a, talk about a thin, pukey line right there.
Because the first shot numbs the mouth, so the rest of them are even easier to take.
Yeah.
But especially when it's like tequila, do you ever like, not, you haven't drank all day, and when you get to the place, you take that one first big
shot
of tequila.
It's like 9 o'clock in the morning. And
Do you ever feel like instantly drunk? Like one big shot or something? You're like, whoa.
Especially
like
an empty stomach.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the worst. If you're going to be mixing the two all night, going crazy with it, you're going to need to administer a ham sandwich somewhere in between there.
Or during.
Exactly. But, you know, beer is great. It's controllable. You know, you don't just accidentally drink one too many beers.
That's a good point.
Just shotgunned one too many.
There's that.
For sure. Keg stands.
I've been like halfway through a beer and been like, well, you know, I think I've had enough. And then I just set it down and then that's it, you know.
Yep.
Switch to water and you're great.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And now my practice nowadays, and, you know, it gets less stringent as the night goes on. But I try to have like one bottle of water for every like two drinks, you know. And as the night goes on, I might even increase that after every beer. I'm going to slam a bottle of water.
Right.
And that'll just keep you, it keeps that alcohol a little diluted in you know.
Sure.
But
the
same friend who is like, I don't know why I don't drink liquor more often, and then puked his guts out, is also, you hang out with him, and if you bust out a bottle of water while you're drinking some beers or something, he's going to call you out about it.
Yeah.
Make fun of it. Yeah, make water. But that's at the same time, it's, you know, usually if I am hanging, like if it's at my house, man, I'm there for the long haul, obviously.
Right.
You know, it might be 6 hours of hanging and I can't just get sloppy trashed, you know, within an hour of this.
Now, you've done that before, right?
Absolutely.
I have gotten sloshed
quickly without, and you look at the, you're like, oh my gosh, I got four more hours of this.
Yeah.
And at one point, like not too bad, but to the point where you got to stop for a while and you're kind of just sitting there. Like, I don't even know. You're a little weavy, and like, you got to pass up on all the shots and beers going around, and like, you kind of just waiting maybe for some food to arrive or something.
Some coffee.
You're almost just waiting the party out at that point.
Yeah. And when it's your own party.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Pace is key. Yeah.
That's when you're like,
critical.
Oh, I just found out my grandpa died. All right. So
I'm going to drive home.
Yeah.
I definitely learned the 1-to-1 situation, or even 2-to-1, is the way to go when it comes to that. Alcohol, water, whatever it is. Bang, bang, bang. You know?
I'm just not like disciplined enough. Like when I start, I'm there. I'm like, yeah. But yeah, like as the night goes on, just start being like, oop, it's been like 8 drinks since my last water.
Yeah. And I might do, but see, I'm different. I might do 2 or 3 beers quickly.
Yeah.
And then hit the water and then go back and forth.
Right.
So
sometimes our podcast meetings, it just amazes me how much we can drink
in like no time.
Yeah.
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 Well, make it up to do you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But no, if I show up to a party, you're a listener, you invite me to a party, I'm going to have probably a 30 pack in one hand and a 24 pack of water in the other.
Right.
You know, for the night. There.
Right. It's all
exciting.
Strategic.
Yeah
exciting. Got to strategically drink because there's nothing worse.
Yeah.
Too much. Or too little, even.
Yeah.
You're like, you know what? I'm just not getting there. And then you got to overcompensate. Right. And then now you're over the line. Yeah, it's too easy. You got to find that delicate balance. Mm.
Yeah, definitely seasoned veterans we sound like.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, could I mention something?
Go for
Jay, you raised a interesting topic a moment ago about how I can use my wife and the baby and all that as a great excuse. It is. You're right. I can, but I keep running this situation, not just myself, but I see other people in it. It is so hard to have excuses nowadays because of social media.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had to do this before where I've used my wife as an excuse not to do something. I have to ask her not to post on Facebook or even appear on it or do anything like that to keep up the ruse, you know?
And I love it.
There was the weekend that you and I went camping, Jay, it looked like I was going to go by myself. My wife was like, "You are not going by yourself, not with the kiddo to be here any moment."
Right.
And I was thinking like, okay, well, it doesn't look like I can get anybody to go. I'm just going to lie and say that somebody went with me. And I have a friend who I thought would be perfect, but he's also a huge Facebook user, constantly posting stuff on there. So I was like, man, now I got to wrap up him in this lie.
Yeah.
Ask him to ruin his weekend by not posting anything on Facebook for a couple of days.
Which
I'm not
is sad
do that.
If that ruins your weekend. By the way.
No, I'm just kidding. Joking on that. Yeah. But it reminds me, I have a friend who he's got a friend. They're having some issues in their marriage, and he's like acquaintance of mine. That it's my friend's friend, so I'm friends by association or something. Yeah. But
a man you know,
first friend,
a man
first
I know,
friend once removed, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Having some issues with his wife, and he wants to partake in a little infidelity because he's also got some health issues. Not sure how much longer he's going to be on the planet. You know,
right? Let's not get too much specific here.
No, not too much specific. This guy could be talking about 100 million different people. Yeah, these are folks out of state anyway. So what does it matter? They're not listening. But.
But in any case, you'd be surprised, dude. We garner like 5 listeners.
Yeah, I know.
A week. So.
But there was some question of helping out with some infidelity. And if there's ever been a case of infidelity that was warranted, it was this one. So, any case, he wants to get his friend to help him out, orchestrate all this, and then this guy now is going to have to lie to everybody in his circle to make this all happen. Right. And he's like, I just can't do that. Like, I can't lie to that many people. There's too much social connection. There's too much like GPS locator on phones. You know, it can't be like, oh, camping for the weekend. It's well, why were you at a strip club in Mississippi?
Life 360 said you were at such and such.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to lie about things like that because now you got to keep people off the I don't know, for a lot of people what really matters is what they post on their social media, I guess.
I was complicit in aiding and abetting some infidelity once beyond I didn't know it was gonna happen. So it works like this. I get a call from my friend. It's like, hey man, let's do karaoke night tonight. We'll go out, we'll have some drinks, karaoke night. Sounds fun, let's do it. Go and pick them up, and we're
on
our way.
You sing karaoke?
What's that?
Side note, you sing karaoke?
I don't sing karaoke. Okay, I get up there and sing some karaoke.
All right.
I did that night because we're go and pick him up. Then we're driving to the place, and he's like, oh, and take this weird way. And I'm like, what is that? You know, and this guy's married. And we take this odd way. And
so this would be like me doing this?
100%.
Okay.
Yeah. And pull up at this house. He's like, yeah, right here. Texting, and this girl comes out, and this horrific girl, by the way. Like, it was.
She wasn't smoking hot?
No, no, dang. Not at all.
You wouldn't put yourself out on a limb for this one?
No, I would not. And I wouldn't have done any of this. It was totally unknown to me. And he hops out, meets her outside, and they both get in the back. And they're both.
So now
like,
you're driving Miss Daisy style. Can you say that 100%, on the radio?
100%. Okay. 100%. And I'm like, I'm driving, I'm already knowing, like, okay, well, I'm locked in.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had a shred of dignity, I'd just pull over and kick him out. But
take him back to his house.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, well, let's go back and let's go pick up your wife and your kids.
Yeah, that would have been funny.
Yeah. And so we go to the karaoke place, and he just ditches me with her, and they go to the back corner, and they're just out there back making out. And I'm like, I'm singing karaoke. I'm just alone. I'm having drinks. I'm singing karaoke. I'm not here with nobody. So I get up there. I sing some Frank Sinatra. I sing some Pink Floyd, a few songs, listen to some other people. I'm like, okay, I'm out of here. So I just ditched him.
Nice.
Yeah.
Of course.
And then, of course, like, he starts reaching out to me. This was, like, the end of our friendship, too. I'm not going to say that was the ultimate reason why. There was a few different reasons, but that was almost, like,
a catalyst.
A catalyst. Right. Almost even a nail in the coffin. It's been a while since, so I don't remember if we hung out too much after that. But he reached out to me. He was like, hey, me and my wife, you know, we have a understanding and this and that. I'm like, I don't see her ditching the kids on a Friday night to go and like, don't see it at all, you know? And if I wish I could visualize these two people for you, they're both not, I don't even know how to, what I'm saying. They're both not like cheating type people. It wouldn't seem he was.
They look like wholesome couple types.
Very wholesome couple types. So it was a big surprise, you know? And of course I almost believe, I believe that, you know, that whole, you know, we have an understanding, but don't bring that up. You know, don't say that. So I'm
Yeah.
So that was that story. And no, you don't want to be complicit in anybody's infidelity. You don't want to help out because now you have to lie. And then especially when it happens on you like that, that's when you, you know what? Kick them out. Yeah. If you're in that situation, kick them out.
And you lower somebody into a shit pool, you're going to get shit on you, too.
100%. Good point. That's a good way to put it. Absolutely. I wanted no shit on me. I had shit on me.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't want it, so I washed my unexpected shit. That's the worst.
Yeah. I got to say, I don't think... I'm trying to say, Patrick came to me in a similar situation, and Caitlin was his wife, and so, and I know them in this in the capacity I know them right now. I would have to say I would not try... I would not be able to... be a part of anything like, you know what I'm saying? In the same, because I couldn't tell, I couldn't be like, and I'm telling, I couldn't do that. So I'm not going to do that, but I wouldn't participate.
Yeah.
If I hollered at you and was like, drive me around, and then I go to the 400 pound woman's house, the one that works at Easy Mart, and you wouldn't let me get in the back seat or your car with her.
I think we're friends enough that I would like slap you and be like, bro, what are you doing?
Yeah. By the way, you have a two door. So you're going to have to really yank those seats forward.
Right. Could you bring your truck? We'll just get in the bed.
Yeah. Do you have straps?
Do you have a trailer?
Just a ball hitch works.
Yeah, maybe like a horse trailer or something would probably be ideal.
Oh my goodness! No, I mean, I would. I would really like. I would shake you by the collar and ask you, "What is wrong? Are you having a seizure?" You know what I mean?
Because I would protest. I would not participate. I
think that's the best friend, though.
Yeah, but I would not tell.
No,
I would not. That's not for my. I would. You know.
I would think to myself, he had a lapse in judgment that obviously didn't go anywhere because I shook it out of him.
Yeah.
And that's all. Clearly,
he must have got a DMT pen or something.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Or you're suffering from, you know, sleepwalking or did you get hit in the head? He's bleeding. Yeah.
Exactly.
Big sore on his head or something okay, there we go. That's the issue.
Right. So
Give him every benefit of the doubt.
Exactly.
Yeah. But this friend was not even particularly like a great
friend
like in the first
put you
place.
In that that's a bad friend that put you in that kind of situation.
True. And I've known people that would have put me in that situation that, like you said, I would have just let them out the kicked them out the car.
Like I dream
they
of
weren't
it still.
friends, you know what I mean?
What a situation. How much better would that story be if I was like, and then I pulled over and said, get the out,
right?
That would have been way better, but unfortunately, no. I just went and sang drunk karaoke alone. No, I'm drunk. I made sure not to get drunk. I was driving. Flagstaff was crazy about that. So if I drove out there.
Oh, college towns, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You don't do that.
Yeah. It was the same guy. He did you guys have any more on that particular subject?
Nah.
Yeah, that was the same guy. He actually introduced me, kind of. He was one of the first people I ever played the Magic the Gathering game with.
Okay.
And I had my first deck all out, and it was all sleeved and stuff. And like one of the first times we sat down to play, he had a bottle of water, and he just spilled and went all inside the sleeves, ruined all my cards that I had on the table.
Were you winning the game?
I was not winning. I can't remember. It was so early into it. Oh, I don't remember, but I had like some of my most expensive cards out on the table when he did that. I remember. And he was like, oh, and he like grabbed it was terrible. He like grabbed my cards to pull them out of the sleeves and like blow on them and stuff. It was like making everything worse. Ink running. Like, terrible.
That's crazy.
Speaking of that game, the nerdiest thing that I've ever done so far, I think, is now I'm hooked up with this Magic the Gathering online playing experience. And
it's a real-life virtual experience.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So how it works is you join these tables of Magic players, and you got the webcam pointing down at your playmat, and then you can... So you don't see any faces, but you get to see all the warty, horrible hands of most of trolls and stuff.
Dirty hands.
Oh, the dirty... One dude was just bleeding. Like, he had, like, open sores, like, all over his... Man. Yeah.
Chews his nails.
Like, from clearing a fence line, a brush?
I was trying to... I was trying to give him that, but they looked like...
Like you've been picking at his scabs and smoking them afterwards.
Yes. Neglect sores is the best. There was one like right here between his nail and his, and then some on his knuckles. Like, first looked like he got into a fight, but then maybe he was working with barbed wire or something. And then after a while, it was like, that's just running. That's just a running open wounds. That's all that is. Nice. Dripping.
Gross.
But the type of people, you sit down, there's four players to a table. So you sit down, and after enough games, you really get to experience how many different people there are playing this game.
It's a social experiment.
It really is, yeah. Like, you got these German guys. They're very nice. Like, okay, GG is my friends. And they get out, and they're very nice, you know. But then you also get the guys that come out, and right away, like the other night, I was playing Hop In. Boom. You see everybody's playmats.
Yeah.
And one dude has a My Little Pony playmat.
Yeah. That's a brony, right?
That's a brony.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he pulls out like little cards and stuff, little like altar cards, like custom made little things, and they're like furry stuff. It was like he made, this is going to sound so stupid, whatever, I'm going to own it. He plays a squirrel deck. So he makes a lot of squirrels, and his squirrel little tokens that he puts out are like busty squirrel ladies.
Oh my goodness.
That definitely have like drip on them.
Oh no.
And he's playing with those, and I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm really reconsidering.
Oh my goodness.
It's a dual purpose deck.
It's That's right. And then the best part, the best things that you get to see those guys. Usually they're very quiet. The best ones are the guys, you load up, you see their webcam. First of all, their camera quality is garbage. They don't have a playmat. They just have like a ratty desk they're playing at. No sleeves on their cards. Like dirty, bloody hands. And they are just so pissed. Like the moment they sit down, they're just like, they're so, and they just rage quit and close out the. So I was playing with a guy. He was hosting the table.
Yeah.
And if you hop out as the host, you have two options. It pulls it up. It says, leave that lobby open for them to finish their game or close the lobby.
Jerks.
Yeah. And we like teamed up on him because he was at a big play or whatever, and we took him out, and he was and just closed out the whole lobby. And that's happened a bunch of times, people just rage quitting or like,
and there's no rep system on this,
no,
right?
Unfortunately not. No, yeah, there's no have a profile, but it really just says your name. You can't like leave a comment like, this guy's a butthead to play with, or
and it doesn't give any penalties for
no penalties early. Yeah, so he just gets to go and host the next table, and as soon as he loses, he closes it out, you know. And I saw this one guy, again, he got off to a quick start. He had a lot of stuff out, and people were like, you know, went around the table like, okay, I kill that, and I kill that, and I take care of that. And at that point, he's like he smashes his hands down on his cards into the graveyard, like, I guess it's all team up on me day, you know, like, just chill out, man. Like, it's a game. It's little cardboard, and you got boobs on your tokens. Like,
yeah,
just chill, man. And the worst part
is obviously all this guy at that point.
This is what he spends his money on.
Yeah, raison d'être, right there. You know, he got nothing else going on,
right?
That's right. And he just got smashed in it. Mm-hmm. You know,
and you could even have the highest level of nerds, but they pull up. Their camera quality's good. They got the good playmat. Even if it is a brony playmat, their hands are clean, their cards are sleeved, and they're chill.
Right.
You know why? Money. That guy has a job.
Right.
That's what it is. If you're these incel basement trolls, they just need cash flow, man.
Guy has the ability to interact with actual people.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. He could be the most weird in the bed on his own kind of guy with his furries or whatever, right. But at least he's like, hey guys, how's it going? Yep. You know, and then, oh, guess you killed me. Good game. You know, that type of thing. I'm glad, by the way, I want that off my screen. Yeah. But at least he's cool about it.
I'm getting some funny feelings looking at him.
Exactly. I'm not sure what to feel.
Never looked at squirrels the same way since.
We shoot them here in Arkansas. What do you do with them? And then, it's just an interesting group of people. And from what I've never played with an actual real life play group of people, Magic. And I was always afraid to, because I was like, I'm going to go there. It's going to be broke nerds, which are possibly some of the most toxic people you can hang out with in your life. Get them a little money, work at Easy Mart, little cash flow. You still live in your mom's basement.
A job, at least then they're getting a little exercise every time they're like getting up,
You
know, going to their vehicle and then walking into their place of work, getting that human interaction, not just, again, just ghostly white sitting in a basement or whatever, or their room locked up for the whole time because their mom is too scared of them to kick them out or whatever, you know.
And the coolest people I've played with are all like people you wouldn't expect. There was this one dude I played with. He was a black guy from South Carolina, and he plays in the cab of his 18-wheeler. That's what he was like, guys, I got to step away for like 2 minutes. I got to back up into the dock. They're ready for me. And like, you can see like all the cards and stuff shaking as he's like, beep, beep, beep.
That's funny.
And like, so, you know, you meet some cool people on there. It's a very mixed bag. Nice. Yeah. And it's just so clear. And when you have a table and there's three cool guys and one, you know, angry, vengeful nerd. And when he rage quits, it's funny for the rest of us. Right. We get to laugh. So
yeah, I'd like to think that'd be like a little social lesson for them, you know, exactly. Maybe just be a little better. I don't know.
Yep. I just wanted to talk about that and the mixture of people that I've come to know, and I will come to know more of them.
Yeah, you're doing something that most people don't really do, and that's like intimately kind of associating with other strangers. Yeah. You know, I mean, we all meet strangers day to day, Easy Mart or whatever, but to sit down and like enjoy a hobby together again, that especially with COVID, man, that's kind of ended, and maybe in rural areas like this, you just not get that chance at all, really. Absolutely. You know, so that's interesting. Yeah. Get to see a little slice of modern society, which I'm sure is pretty shitty when it comes down to it.
But it is very fun when you get into the table and it's all cool guys. And I've had a lot of fun. Lots of talking, just not even about the game, just about random stuff. And then
what would you say the ratio of cool to uncool?
I'm going to be honest, dude. I'm going to say it's like half and half.
Yeah.
Which is pretty significant. You would think it's like 25 cool, 75 uncool for a game like that. But, you know, and maybe even the vengeful nerds in the minority. Maybe it could even be 49 for the nerds,
vengeful
51.
Nerds.
Yeah. And when you find that group, it's kind of cool. You finish, okay, guys, shuffle up, play again. Yeah, absolutely. Because I want to stay here because I don't want to have to go back out into the lobbies, you know,
of
brony angry people.
and I ask because I've just been seeing in the last couple of years, it doesn't matter where you get your news from, be Fox, CNN, The Atlantic, Al Jazeera, wherever, you're going to see some article on any given day in the top 10 stories about the mental health issues affecting men in this country and why they're like miserable SOBs and, you know, get the toxic culture or the toxic attitudes that men, and not even talking specifically toxic masculinity, not about that, just about a bunch of men who I guess just don't know how to be men or something.
Virgins.
Yeah, I mean, it's broke virgins is big thing. And
look at all those school shooters that you ever see the like. And there's way more now, but I remember a few years back seeing like the big nine. There was like nine big school shooters that we all would recognize or remember those stories.
Right,
each
like
one of them.
Jonesboro to Parkview.
Yeah, Each one of them was a ratty looking muskratty.
white nerdy kid, right, you know, who just hates the world, and they always go deep into their computer or something, find that they were 4chan posters, you know, or Reddit guys or whatever, and this and that, and you can just, it's just, that's what it is. I really think so. Like, it's, there's an epidemic of these guys not working and not getting laid, and that's a bad combination.
And I wonder if it's, is like suburbia that's doing that, because you can't, it's hard to be like that rural.
Yeah.
Or in rural,
right,
America.
Yeah.
You
that's
know?
True.
You just, that, the influence isn't there to help you build up that, mm-hmm, way. And then I think urban environments, you know, I don't feel like you're going to see that because you're going to have to interact with people all day long.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing, you're in a crowded city, you're going to be jostling around people. There's a lot of pressure for you to be a strong person. In a, yeah. You got to be a strong, smart person in an urban environment. But suburbia, yeah, is like laziness.
That's,
I mean,
true,
as far as like human society interaction goes.
Yeah. You might, that's the perfect place to have a mom's basement situation, yeah, where your parents are kind of like, oh, Tommy, yeah, you know, he's just angry. You're going to come out, son, for see your uncle.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Live in a populated area, but do well enough that they don't have to live in a cruddy downtown apartment,
yeah,
or something,
yeah,
you know? And so now, yeah, living kind of in suburbia, probably, yeah, got it made pretty well. There's no pressure to, mm-hmm, I mean, you just kind of, you've been raised real special. Mm-hmm. And
they don't need the rent from that room that he's been taking.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Right.
Exactly. And, you're like, let's just say it again, maybe I'm generalizing too much, but you're a broke virgin nerdy kid, basement dwelling, horrible nerd, neckbeard, incel.
Racist, you're misogynist.
Yeah, absolutely, all of it. All you see online in your social media is people having way more fun than you.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to defend. I don't even want to begin to try and get into the mind of that person, but like, it almost makes sense. It's like a 1+1 type of thing.
They're probably really selfish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very,
yeah,
selfish people, because you got to think about it. The more selfish, the less human interaction, because you want what you want and you want it always. And, mm-hmm, if you go around other people, there are elements or variables you cannot control.
Yeah.
So I imagine the most trolly, neckbeardy style are the most selfish. You know what I mean?
Right.
They probably don't pay rent to their mom and dad.
Right.
You know, even when they could, because they, mm-hmm, got the easy march up.
You could read, like, if you ever read, I remember, where was it? Somewhere did like a big thing about incels. Some, you know, I don't think it was like NBC or anything like that. Maybe like Washington Post or something. I don't know. Somebody did a big thing about incels and talked to a previous incel. I was an incel until I moved out.
Yeah.
And like, finally got a job. Incel is such a stupid term anyway.
Yeah, it sounds like a terrorist organization.
It does. It does. Yeah, a sleeping incel.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It means involuntarily celibate,
okay,
which is everybody until they get laid.
That's, yeah, funny. Involuntarily,
okay,
celibate.
You're involuntarily, like, I mean, if you're voluntarily celibate,
yeah, I guess,
then,
yeah,
that's okay, cool.
Yeah. Cool.
That's
a monk or something.
Do your thing.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, do your thing. You're happy,
yeah,
doing that.
Exactly.
No, like, until, like, you know, for, I would say most people.
I'd say most young men.
Most
especially.
Young men from the age of 14 to 18. In that
it's
range,
what
somewhere
you're thinking about,
you're involuntarily celibate.
That's
until,
right,
you strike gold.
That's right.
And then you're like, oh, and you're. It's like, you know what? Everybody's always talking about DMT, man. That'll open your mind. Nah, just a job and some and a
some
nice
regular
lady.
Yeah,
that'll
some
get
regular.
You some regular. That'll open your mind up.
That's
okay, and you don't need to be splashing around in a stream with some dirty monk's hippies fingers down your throat. All right, you don't need any of that to gain any type of enlightened perspective.
Right,
you really don't.
That's,
yeah,
fine.
Whereas,
yeah,
this guy who 95% of his allowance is going towards, you know, it's just Magic,
yeah,
the Gathering,
yeah,
for instance.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah,
and then he gets beat by some dude who's a
cool
normal guy,
yeah,
you know, and then
he's
this
getting
is
some regular.
Yeah, yes. Who's just like, it's just like a side thing for him.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's something I do. One,
yeah,
of many that I have, you know, including banging chicks.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, to get destroyed by that guy. I mean, that as that incel,
yeah,
basement dwelling nerd, that,
yeah,
does not leave you a whole lot of rope to hang from,
yeah,
at that point.
We talked a couple podcasts about Patrick's, the Lego conventions that you'll go to. And
right,
we were like, you know, smart, charismatic, handsome Patrick.
Great job.
Great job. Like, does, you know, he's got a
Keep
full
going.
Life.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful wife.
He said the last thing. This is the same thing last time, too. Keep going. He's standing there, and the guy's like in just a stormtrooper outfit. This is what I've been looking forward to all year.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, this is kind of a chore for me, to be honest. Yeah, but I want to do it. I want to set my stuff up, have some people enjoy it. I had took time off work.
Yeah.
My wife is here. Or and they're like,
yeah, you're like the unicorn.
Yeah.
I had one a couple of years ago, one of those shows that came up to me. Just, I mean, a huge old thing of Code Red in his hand. You know, I mean, just
fedora.
Yeah, pretty much.
Classy.
Yeah. And a kilt, you know.
Yeah. Hate breed t-shirt.
Yeah.
But I mean, it epitomizes everything we've been talking about today, and he comes up and tells me, "Oh, these are all illegal Lego techniques." I'm like, "Illegal?
Oh, snap.
Okay. Yeah, well, you're mistaken me for somebody
sirens,
who gives a shit with
Lego
that means. Yeah.
What
so
do you mean by that?
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess there's connections you can make, and yeah, I mean, I don't test the limits of what they can do, but if it's like there's certain things that it's like, well, it's not meant to be put together that way. Mm. Oh man, I guess I'm just gonna tear the whole thing apart
Darn.
Now because that's the one thing that you pointed out on it, you know, and
classic critic. I can't do any of that.
Yeah. I would think that if you put it together and it looks like the thing you want it to look like, that's the way it could go together. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter how
if you set it and you kind of like Jenga, and you pull your arms off and it doesn't fall,
you're good.
That's the moment that it's falling and you haven't used string or double-sided tape.
That's illegal.
That's illegal.
Tape seems illegal.
Tape,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. You tape it off,
glue,
limb,
super glue.
Yeah.
That seems illegal.
Yeah, that seems like it. You know, that's cheating.
Yeah, exactly.
But and I guess the point there is that sometimes the last resort of these folks who aren't good at the thing that they have wrapped their whole life around, because that's the thing is most people, man, just aren't good at anything.
Yeah.
All right. Or that's the rule of thumb is 99% of everything is crap. You know, it's the 1% that's going to shine. You know?
Right.
So, but usually that 99% are putting 100% trying hard or whatever into this particular thing. It was at this same show. I had one of the guys who he considers him definitely a hot shot in the world of Lego vendors, which is a whole other subculture with a subculture of the Lego subculture.
That's community. Lego vendors. What does he break sets open and
sells them? And just sells different things or whatever. And he came up to this, you know, into this. It's a 24 square foot castle that I built, and you know, it took me a year to do. It was pretty nice. I mean, it got in magazines and won some awards and stuff, you know. And he comes up and he's like, "Your piece right here is coming loose," you know. He's like, "I like everything about it except this right here." And it's like, we're like, a particular level was not sitting right. It was because the damn tables that they gave me, where they met up, it was all off.
Yeah,
and I had to be like, "Yeah, I mean, you're right. That's unfortunately, it's the tables are kind of not aligning totally." So. But that's
zero.
A great nitpick for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah,
great. Exactly.
That's a great nitpick. I commend you on that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm a big Lego runner. So,
you know,
I could sell you some pieces where you could use your talent to make that work.
Got a quarter pound of bricks right now.
Yeah. And I guess it just, it's, yeah. Lego is great until you meet Lego people. Okay.
Yeah.
And then it's just like,
I think Magic's got to be the same.
Yeah.
I've never been to a con. I've never been to an actual table to play. I've been to a LGS, a local game store, a couple times, and do not fit in there at all.
Right.
At all. They had this one, like, this swamp troll, like, king. Like, I work here, okay? I make minimum wage, but I get a discount on Magic cards, you know? And, like, you just try and have a little conversation with them. And once I wanted a box of cards... It's expensive. It's like $110 plus tax, a box of cards, you know? And I'm like looking at it. I'm like, oh, that box right there, I kind of want that box. It's the last one y'all got, you know? And
right.
He's like, oh, yeah, 110, you know? And I'm like, give it to me,
right.
Essentially. Put it in my hands. Be a salesman for the place that you work. If he was like, oh, yeah, check it, you know, gave
check
it over,
out.
Like maybe look it over, make sure it's all sealed and whatnot. If that box was in my hands, absolutely would have
bought it.
But I had like this moment where I was just like, oh, all right. Walked away, didn't buy a thing.
Yeah.
You know, that same place got broken into and like like thousands and tens of thousands of stuff of cards and all kinds of stuff stolen. And I saw it on Facebook, and I told my my brother-in-law, I was like, let's go in there today and buy something, like patronize it and just see, you know. And we go inside and the owner's not there, it's just that same guy behind there. And I'm like, yeah, figured I'd come in, you know, I'll buy a box, you know, and yeah, I'm sorry for you guys, you know, support a little bit. And he, well, yeah, whatever, you know. And it was, again, it was I ended up buying that box for sure, but
Right. They're
just bad, man. They're just bad at this.
Yeah.
They're just bad at it. And this one guy played at the, you have something to say.
Oh, I was just going to say, and that you guys were talking on air the other day about making friends, and I think maybe we touched upon this on another podcast, but I feel like trying to make friends with folks who share a hobby with you is a fallacy. Like, yeah, it's just not going to work out, because I mean, of course, that's depending on what hobby it is, but I'm sure like Magic is a perfect one where, sure, you guys both play Magic, but other than that, you're gonna be totally different people. Like with Lego, yeah, I have not really been able to make friends with any Lego people, and Right. That's why I have, you know, I think I came out on this podcast that I was a Lego builder. Yeah, because I didn't want people to be like, oh, I've met Lego people before, yeah, and they're awful. Yeah. All right. They're, yeah, annoying weirdos, yeah, who play with kids' toys. Yes, I play with kids' toys. I will say that, but yeah, I try not to meet any of the other criteria. And
you can get lucky and meet another cool guy.
Yeah, yeah, that's so true.
But the lengths in which you're willing to go to share that hobby with somebody else that you might not even like is extraordinary.
Yeah.
And I would say, I would go just a little bit further to say, without the one thing that brings you together, without that, would you still want to be friends with this person?
No. Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you don't, if you look at that person, everything but the Lego or whatever brought you together, you look at that and like, I wouldn't want to be friends with that guy outside of Lego.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, that's the easiest way for me to tell if I even want to, you know.
I think most people are pretty competitive about their hobbies too. You know, they get into it, especially when you're an adult. You might have been doing it for a while at this point, so you think you're not meeting other people of a similar hobby to learn from them, most likely.
Right.
You know, most people I think come in. I've had this too. When I got into the Lego hobby, I knew I was good, and I came into that to present my good stuff, not to learn from anybody. Nobody's trying to learn from me. They're just trying. We're just trying to one up each other. So to use a hobby as a basis of friendship. That's tough.
Very similar situation. Patrick and I, or you, reached out to these guys that you knew in Texas who played Axis and Allies. I don't think we've ever told this story on here. Axis and Allies, nerdy World War II board game.
Yeah.
You know, takes hours to complete. It's huge, massive, 1,000 different rules and stuff. So it's very hard to find people to play the game. It's not like Monopoly.
Right.
You know, so you knew these guys, had played with them before, and you're like, you want to go down to Tyler, Texas, and school.
3.5 hours away.
Yeah, 3.5 hours away just to play this game. And I'm like, let's go. Let's school these guys. And we get down there and we start playing. And I mean, like, two of the guys were okay.
Yeah.
Again, not necessarily, wouldn't even know if I'd want to hang out with them outside of the game. Don't know. But there was one guy in particular who was extremely annoying. And like, you know, and we went down there and beat him. And that was that. Like, every time after that it was maybe a meetup going to happen. It was just like, I don't know. That guy, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway,
and this is also a guy. He was bragging the whole time. He paid like $1,200 to have his little pieces professionally painted by somebody. And it's like Tyler said, but man, we'll play with change. All right. A penny makes a perfectly good battleship. All right. As long as you remember that the penny is the battleship.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to send my stuff off to some dude for him 6 months later and give me a $1,200 bill for painting these pieces. I don't give a shit about any of that.
We get down there. We have our regular game pieces. They're meticulously, oh, look at this bomber, you know, and like they got all their painted pieces, all their little squares that they have set off to the side that they put and set everything up perfectly. And we're just like, yeah, we'll beat you. Like we beat them so bad.
That's hilarious.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's like you take like a little, one little piece about the size of like the eraser in school. You used to stuff on the end of a pencil, you know, that, just like just that like one that Tyler's got in his hand.
Yeah.
And they've like painted the eyes. It's like, oh, that's the German soldier, so I guess he's got the blue,
eyes.
Yeah.
yeah. Just so meticulous about every little thing. We roll in there. Yeah, again, change. Just dump it out on there. This is my battleship right there. This is my guys. And just beat you with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, and not to say that meticulousness is a bad thing when it comes to a hobby, but maybe not a board game based off World War II is not the best place to demonstrate how meticulous you are. I mean, like, maybe woodworking, or if your hobby's music or something, like something that actually is an actual hobby.
Yeah,
you know.
And like you brought up earlier, it was competitive. That was a very competitive game, like from the start.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't, hey, let's all enjoy. Maybe we can learn a little bit from each other about our hobby. Like, we all went down there. We all knew how to play. It was the tone was set from the beginning that this is a game we are all trying to win, you know, and that's it, you know.
Yeah. You definitely go into something with competition style, and that it's a hobby where you can compete, especially.
Yeah.
I guess, I'd have to agree. He talked about not going there to learn. I guess learning is a byproduct, ultimately.
Right.
But you're right. You don't go there to learn.
Nah.
You go there to whoop some ass.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever.
Whoop some ass. Yeah. And some magic. Yeah. Or whatever. I was going to say one more guy that I remember I sat down at the tables with. In magic, you can't make illegal moves. So in Magic, if you play a card that targets another card, but on that other card it says you cannot target this card.
Gotcha.
You cannot target it. It doesn't fizzle. You have to target something else. So that's just a little explanation.
Oh, so it goes off to the side.
It has to. Even if it's your own thing.
You can't pull it back and do
something
else.
You cannot do that.
Gotcha.
You know, unless it's a super casual table, then it's like, yeah, you can redo that. But you have to let them know you actually can't target this. So in a real game, you're going to be like, oh, crap. Sometimes you might even have to target your own thing and blow it up. That's how bad you messed up.
Okay.
So I was playing with this guy, or these three guys. And one of them had, like, it looked like he had fungus all over his arms and hands. Like, I saw, like, spores releasing into the atmosphere and stuff. And he's like frog man.
Like a green cloud.
Yeah. And he was so just super just assertive and aggressive and just, like, slamming everything. And the one guy, he targets his thing. He's not allowed to do that. He's not allowed. And as the other guy, you have to be like that. Does this,
right.
You know, and you can't do it. So it moves on to his turn, and he's like, hey, isn't that dead? And he's like, nope, that was an illegal move, so that fizzled, you know? And the guy's like, oh, dude, you have to let me know so I can target something else and this and that. And he's like, you've been playing long enough. And he's just cursing and like, you've been playing long enough, blah, blah, blah.
Hey.
We ended up just teaming 3-on-1, just That's teaming funny. Up on that guy, and he, you know, salted out and left. But again, the spore hands, the no play mat, just dirty desk, you know, the keyboard and mouse that are like stock, come with the computer and whatnot, and just all grimy and grody all around, and spore hands. That's that guy. You know,
well, see, and that's good. I like that. Maybe this is a format of this particular game and hobby that is connecting people who maybe, I guess a lot of Magic players probably have their local group or whatever, but maybe a lot don't, you know, and especially with the pandemic, a lot of those places had closed down. They never opened back up, you know.
Right.
So
they took it hard.
Maybe this is some a valuable lesson for this particular individual. For every action, there is an equal reaction, you know, and in this case, you know, you're going to act like a dick to people in real life, man, you better expect, you can't just go and punch them in the face afterwards.
Exactly.
But you can, you can teach them, like, dude, you're going to act like this in a real life, I mean, real time, you know, there's going to be consequences for it.
Like, I don't care if I lose this game as long as I kill you.
Exactly.
That's my plan. So, yeah, I've been playing those. I'll keep you updated on any new guys. Maybe I should start recording them.
I'm sure he goes and complains on the Discord afterwards alongside his last comment where he opened a door for a woman and she didn't say thank you. Yes. So he was complaining about that.
Yeah, exactly. We have a few more minutes left. I want to talk about what's coming up.
Okay.
Our mother is coming into town.
Ooh, yeah.
Very excited to have our mother here. We haven't seen her in quite some time, over 2 years.
Over 2 years.
Huh? Yeah. And so it's been a long time coming. Lots of stuff going on with the passport and whatnot. Our mother's German, but she lives in Canada, and she's not yet a citizen of Canada still.
A legal immigrant, I think, of like 3 countries right now.
Yeah. And because of everything going on, it's been a nightmare to try and fly and blah, blah, blah. And her passport was to expire later this year, but that didn't matter. They were like, no, we need it. you know, we need a new one, basically. Updated and this and that. So it was a process. She had to deal with, like, Canadian and German embassies and this and that. And she was telling me the other day, she's like, I had to call into Mannheim, Germany, to get this. And I was like, is that just like a guy? It almost sounds like a ceremonial position of, like, passports. You have to call into this guy named Mannheim. And it's forever. Like, doesn't matter how qualified he is. He just needs the name Mannheim.
Yeah. Right.
But finally got it all worked out. Coming, yay, so I'm coming for the baby's gonna be, you know, and she's gonna come down for like a month and a half.
Nice.
On the weekend that she's coming down, guess who calls and says that they're also gonna be coming a day before, 2 days before our mother, our dad.
Yep. And dun, again, dun, dun.
He knew, he didn't know. He was like, you know what, I'll come after the baby's born.
Yep.
And then, we, you know, Patrick talked to him, said, oh, mom's coming down. He's like, so am I.
Yeah,
I'm coming too then.
He tried to be a little slyer about it than that. You know, I talked to him like a Thursday night, and I was like, well, yeah, he's a truck driver, so you never, he could be anywhere in the country at any moment,
right,
you
right.
know. There's been times where I just go to, he's like, hey, I'm DeQueen right now. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. We'll see you in a second then.
Yeah, yeah.
But in any case, he's like, well, I want to come down, but I'm going to wait till the baby gets here. Ah, totally understandable. And then just later on in the conversation offhand, I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, mom's going to be here next week. And he was like, oh, okay. And then that was it. Next morning, I get a text message that's like, oh, I'll be here next Friday, the day before she's supposed to be here.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, look, I, you know, she hadn't seen her kids in 2 years, and she's been divorced from you for like 25 years or something. I don't think that you're the first person that she wants to see. And then he called me. He's like, well, you and Caitlin don't need to be driving to Dallas to pick her up from the airport because, you know, don't want to have Caitlin have the baby on the way. He's like, I'll pick her up again. I don't know how to, you know, I know 25 years or however long is, it's a long time. Maybe you forget a little bit of what happened, but I mean, you know, you're divorced.
Yeah.
So,
and they're friends.
It's all done.
Yeah. They're friends. I know they have a good, decent acquaintances. A friendly relationship of some kind,
right,
where they can talk to each other on the phone, you know, and this and that. It's not a big explosive like a lot of divorced couples probably are. I never want to talk to them again.
Right.
No, they're not like that, but you know,
a 2.5 hour car ride.
No.
Yeah.
No. It's just you give an inch, he takes a mile every time.
I mean, just to quote Gautier, I forget. Now he's just somebody that she used to know. All right. That's their relationship status.
Gautier?
Okay. Gautier,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
the guy who sounds like Sting when he sings.
Yeah,
I mean, I like the song.
Just, I thought it was Sting forever.
That one band that probably started in a Starbucks or something. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, there's a part of me that wants to laugh. There's a part of me that wants to sigh. You know, it's just not in great taste. You know, if you remember, I don't know, episode 40 or something, or however long it goes back when we talked about the gender reveal, then maybe you know just a little bit about our dad and whatnot and can imagine it. One thing I wanted, one little dad story I wanted to tell was when we were, I don't think I've told this one before on the podcast, we went to Arizona for our sister's wedding. And a couple of my friends from Canada were to come down. And I had already regaled them a ton of stories about my dad and this and that. And my one friend was driving down from Canada. So he drives through Grand Forks, where my dad lived at the time. And he said he went to the bank to have some of his Canadian money exchanged. And he was standing in the line at the bank. And my dad, well, again, I just spoiled it. Some guy is just talking to everybody in line, which is dad. Like, he just will talk to anybody and everybody in the line. And
usually to let them know why they live in a place that sucks so much, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And then, so he finally, like, gets the Canadian money exchanged. I guess this gentleman sees it. And then friend goes outside. He's, like, smoking outside of his car or something before he gets back in for the trip. And this man comes out with tight blue jeans and New Balances that are untied probably, and comes up to him and says, what are you doing? You know, he's like, I'm going to a wedding and this and that. And where's it at? And he's like, in Arizona. And looks at him, he's like, you going to my daughter's wedding? You know? And my friend just said, like, it just instantly was like, it was like all rushed in, like, that's Patrick and Tyler's dad.
That's
you know, like, and it was exactly how you know, I would have described it to him, described him to him. Yeah, but he's on his way down. He's bringing the dog. It's going to be a...
Which
it's
is a
be
big,
a
rambunctious
win.
Dog.
Yes, it's a big, rambunctious dog.
Yeah, it's not
dog.
Even a year old, like 100 pounds already, ooh, yeah. You know. And it's, so it's two people, really, and one of them, like, you know, disabled. Like a physically fit but mentally challenged individual.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I said that right
no,
or not.
No, it sounds good to me.
Enough. Okay.
So, and Patrick's house is kind of that. That is the place where if you're going to visit DeQueen as a family member, you're probably going to be staying there because it's a house with on a property with space. Not all the space in the world, but for one solo visitor, they're probably going to end up staying at Patrick's house.
Right.
It's just the proper place. You could stay at mine. I have an apartment, but I can't take a dog. And it's apartment, you know, so it's not exactly, you know, you actually have a guest room and whatnot. And then we have our sister's place, which is also, that could be a decent place for them to stay too. But seems like Dad will not quibble. He wants to stay at Patrick's house. And our mom was to stay at your house as well. And now it's like, so now we're, you know, you're looking at having two parents and a big dog. And then you two, pregnant Caitlin, your little dog, madness. Madness.
Yeah, I absolutely. And I was talking to him last night, and he was like, "Well, I can sleep on the couch, and your mom can keep the guest bed." And here, all right.
We're gonna make room. How is that going to work out?
We're gonna make room for everybody, but I am not gonna have mom in a position where she wakes up and the first thing she sees is her ex-husband from 25 years ago. Okay, she's not going to be waiting outside the bathroom.
She's married,
for him,
right?
Happily.
Yes.
Yes.
This is
weird. Why didn't we add happily at the end of that one?
Yeah.
Now they're happily married.
Yeah.
We love our stepmom too, but and we love our dad. It's just goofy. He's goofy, you know? And this type
not
of thing
thoughtful.
Is yes.
He lacks tact.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right, right.
And so now our mother will be waking up to him like, you know, trying to slam open the glass sliding door while it's on a hook chain. You
Does
know,
she know
locked.
Yet? No.
Does she have
the ability to get a hotel at this point? No. poor woman.
I don't know. And our dad also has our granddad here who's got like property and like two or three guest bedrooms and stuff. Yes. Yep, yeah. That's his father. But they're not on the best terms a lot of times. So.
Our lovely sister reached out and said, "Dad, you are more than welcome to come and stay here with us
with your dog.
I don't want to.
Of course,
I want to stay at Patrick.
Yeah, unless is Connie staying there? Is your mom staying there?
You want to see if that's the actual case? Say, switch it up. Say, mom's going to stay over at Sis's house.
Yeah,
now
we're going to have to talk to him. Be like, what's your game? What are you doing?
I know. Because he's gone German the last few years or something, you know, and he's a German ex-wife, you know.
Why don't you go German?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess so.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nothing but German everything. German coffee, German laundry detergent, German made everything, you know, and it's... Doesn't necessarily mean quality.
Last time, he was like, "I should have brought my German mustard down." You know, the damn Heinz yellow mustard. Excuse me, Great Value yellow mustard is just fine for your hot dogs. All right,
yeah. Come on, you German wieners.
Yeah, this
German
is America. I don't know if you forgot, but we won the war. All right, this is what they eating over in Germany is this Walmart brand yellow mustard. Okay,
oh, that's the mark of a war won right there.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to eat the best value too.
Exactly.
Yeah, America that's says hilarious. Germany dance. They ask how high.
That's right. I don't need to be going out of my way and spending. He's like, "Yo, that's the kind of laundry detergent I get. It's like $14 for like just a normal size." I'm like, I spend two at the Dollar General. I get like three industrial jugs of it.
Yeah, and damn, man, it washes some good clothes, don't it?
That's right.
It does.
Yeah, it does.
It smells a little China-y, but whatever.
But no, I'm going to be adamant that they don't stay in the same house. I think that's only fair.
That is,
again, part of the compact that they signed when they signed the divorce papers is that they will not be staying in the same house in the future.
And as a significant other, either side, I don't think that would be cool.
I mean,
and let's take them into account too. My stepdad and stepmom, weird position for them to be in.
Exactly.
All of
wanting
sudden.
To be nice and be like, "Yeah, I understand. It's
I understand,
family day,
but
like, you know,
same
but
time,
also, yeah,
y'all banged each other 25 years ago.
Yeah,
that
you
is
know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah, look at me, not Patrick.
Yeah, either you'll be taking mom sure. or our sister. Yeah, we're going to split it all up. Yeah, listeners, we'll I know up. Listeners are hanging like, what's
yeah.
going to happen?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
We'll let you know. We'll let you know next week.
We'll have, no matter what, we'll have some interesting stories for you.
I know that our, sorry.
Oh, you know, you're good.
When I talked to dad last night, he was like, well, you know, I kind of thought your place, because I threw it out there. I was like, well, I was kind of throwing my sister on the bus because I was like, yeah, Jen said that you're going to stay with them and said that you're excited about staying there with him. He's like, well, I don't know about that. And I was like, oh, okay, well,
I was kind of thinking your place.
Yeah, because that's where he's like, well, I figure, you know, we'll be drinking and stuff, and I don't want to have to drive anywhere after being drinking. Look, we ain't partying, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I got a wife who's like full-term pregnancy
and
right
we'll be
now.
Going, is she still going to work, too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and still work. I'm still working, and I have to be sober just in case the baby arrives all of a sudden.
And
you
it's
know?
Not like our mom's not a prude or anything, but yeah, not partying. We're not like, you know, lampshade on the head night. It's not happening.
A couple drinks, sure, but
so how long is the dad staying?
As a variable, that was another thing. Is he was going to be here Friday, and then earlier this week, he's like, I think I might be there Thursday, actually. I was like, okay, well, how long are you staying? He's like, I don't know, man, I might leave Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday.
Yeah. Could be next Thursday.
We got a week, possibly.
Yeah, come on, man. Just give me a time frame here so we know, because this is actually thrown all the sleeping arrangements and the preparation kind of.
There was a plan.
Yeah, there
was a plan.
So, but after the week's gone, he will have gone, moved on again, and you'll be able to have mom in the house. So there, you'll still be able to. Yeah. Hopefully,
She'll be small peanuts in the grand scheme.
So. It's just not a great start. A rocky start kind of shakes everything up, which is dad, and he likes to shake everything up. So.
And he asked me last night. He's like, "Are you sure it's okay if I come down?" So you never really asked me. I mean, you're heading down here right now, and that's when you're going to ask me.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, if you can't think. On your own that this is not a good idea, then what the hell am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know, who am I to tell
you? Nothing
you
can say that will change his mind. No, that.
I mean, and dad plans, he doesn't. That's the thing. It's always shaking things up. Remember my sister's wedding? He like wasn't going to come down the week beforehand, and like a few days before he was like, I'm coming, you know, and like came, and it was a big thing that like all of a sudden now there's more people. Right. And then even for your wedding, Patrick, he didn't end up coming to that. But he was meant to, right? Or
he claims, he and his wife claim that we told them the wrong date. And I was like, look, man, it'd been a Facebook event. Like, we literally put
that's funny.
It was almost a year. Our engagement period was almost a year. It never changed a day.
You can't use 1980s lies.
Yeah.
Nowadays. Okay, everything's solid online.
I didn't get the invitation.
It
didn't come in the mail.
We go back. Social media ruins lies. Okay, it's right there. I'm sorry that you, I did. Disregard a lot of Facebook invites, but that's on me.
Yep,
that ain't on the person.
Yep, you cannot feign ignorance anymore. You just have to be like, I didn't want to commit or something. You know, you have to say something.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a similar that my wife had a baby shower last month, and she made a public invite, sent every female friend she has on Facebook. She sent an invite out too, and again, it's one of these things. If you don't look at the invite, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't do that. But then that's on you, you know, that you didn't look at it.
It's the same as getting shuffled into a stack of junk mail.
Yeah, right.
It's the same.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
And but my stepmom, I guess, claims that she didn't know what the day was. So she put Caitlin puts a nice message thanking all the organizers of the baby shower. Very nice pictures of her having a good time and everything.
Yeah, it was very beautiful pictures.
Yeah. And my stepmom goes on there, and the only thing she says is, wish I would have known about it. Not like, hey, you look good. Hope the pregnancy's going well. Glad your baby shower was a really good time. Looking forward to seeing you and the baby in the future. Just wish I would have known.
Yep.
And that was it.
Yeah. Thanks.
Hard period on the end.
Yeah, you've neglected your family.
Yeah.
Drop that there.
We'll keep crying over spilt milk now, huh?
Yeah,
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Trust me, we're going to keep everybody updated. We've got a huge day ahead of us in a couple days. We've got a massive amount of stuff to do for the radio station and other things, and of course, family coming in. So we're going to cut this one off a little short, fellas, unless you had anything you really needed
kind
to get to.
Blow off episode.
Yeah, it's a blow off episode. Yeah. Next week, trust, we're going to have, we'll regale. Best one. We'll have a good one next week.
Yeah.
All right.
Back and better than ever
next week. That's right.
Got crawfish to eat.
Exactly. That's very true.
A whole lot of them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Hot Tails number three. You're going to... No, no. That's releasing tomorrow. Anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll catch y'all next week, and we'll have a lot more. Thank you to Laura Lindley, attorney at law. Thank you to Mountain Fork Brewery and Hochtown Distilling Company. Big things moving. Ray Gaston at the Tiki Bar. He's got a new... he's got a revamped... podcast area. He's got a new boat coming in.
He's
for
got
the
a
summer,
podcast so boat. He's got a boat coming in just for us to do podcasts.
The SS podcast.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So lots of big things moving ahead.
Hauling that out of the bottom of the lake one day in the future.
Yeah, let's hope not. Anyway, thanks to everybody associated, and we will catch y'all next week.
Peace.
Bye.